Today is the fifth of 13 Sundays on which the second lesson is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. And I hope that you are still reading and studying that letter at home. But I'm not preaching about Romans today so that I can draw your attention to a little prayer which I will sing in a few minutes. First, though, let me place that prayer in its proper context. At specific moments in every Mass, the priest says or sings three short prayers, which are also called orations, from the Latin word meaning to pray, orare. The first oration is the collect. Notice the verb collect, the noun collect. The first oration is the collect, or opening prayer, which comes after the Kyrie and Gloria. And the collect expresses the character of that day's celebration. The second oration is the prayer over the offerings, which concludes the offertory rite and points to the Eucharistic sacrifice just about to begin. And the third oration is the prayer after communion, which asks that the fruits of our union with the Lord Jesus may be found in our lives after we leave Mass and begin our mission in the world. These three orations change every Sunday, on all other solemnities and feasts, on many saints' days, and on the weekdays of Advent and Lent. The three orations are brief and usually require no more than 20 or 30 seconds to say or sing. So some effort on our part is required to attend to their meaning and to understand the blessings for which we pray. And this morning, I want to look with you at the middle of this Sunday's three orations, the prayer over the gifts. In just a few minutes, I will sing these words. O God, who in the one perfect sacrifice brought to completion varied offerings of the law, accept, we pray, this sacrifice from your faithful servants and make it holy as you blessed the gifts of Abel, so that what each has offered to the honor of your majesty may benefit the salvation of all. Now let's look more closely at this beautiful little prayer. It begins, O God. Here we are speaking to God the Father, who in the one perfect sacrifice, this of course refers to the sacrifice of Christ, to his suffering and death on the cross, who brought to completion varied offerings of the law. Here the prayer refers to all the types and figures of Christ in the Old Covenant. Think of Melchizedek offering a sacrifice of bread and wine, of Isaac bound to the wood, of the Passover lamb slaughtered to liberate the children of Israel, and of the bread of angels which fed them on their journey. Then the prayer continues. Accept, we pray, this sacrifice from your faithful servants. Who are those servants? All the baptized. All the baptized are those faithful servants, and the sacrifice we offer is the bread and wine, which stand as symbols of everything we give to God and for others as acts of worship, including the sacrifice of contrite hearts and of living for the praise of God's glory, chiefly by forsaking everything contrary to the gospel. Then the prayer goes on, make our sacrifice holy as you blessed the gifts of Abel. And here we return to the types and figures of Christ. Abel, of course, was a son of our first parents, and he was slain by his brother Cain in a jealous rage, the bitter fruit of man's fall from grace. Abel was a shepherd and offered to God the best firstling of his flock, the unblemished lamb. He offered the lamb as an expression of sorrow for sin, of a desire to be made pure, and as a sign of gratitude for all the blessings of life. But note that while Abel made his offering as we make ours, only God can make holy what we offer to him in gratitude and generosity. The prayer then concludes, we ask God to make our sacrifice holy so that what each has offered to the honor of His Majesty may benefit the salvation of all. And here we come to the ideas, two ideas rather, that are nearly forgotten in our time: honor and majesty. In this prayer, we are asking God for the grace to make sacrifices to the honor of His Majesty. This means that the living God is majestic, a word now used mainly of kings, or perhaps more often of natural wonders, but signifying beauty, glory, power, wisdom, transcendence, splendor, and sovereignty. If you listen attentively, you'll hear the word majesty used often in the sacred liturgy. And it always describes, if you will, the godness of God being God. And note that since we pray to offer our sacrifice to the honor of God's majesty, we in turn must live honorably. That is, we must live justly and in righteousness. But that is something we can do only when we have been justified by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus, who is the wisdom and power of God, the Word made flesh, our Passover and our peace. Then we ask that our sacrifice to the honor of God may benefit the salvation of all. When we come to Mass, we come to seek the grace of God not only for ourselves and those we love, but for the entire human race. And in some way that we cannot yet fully perceive, the worship of Christians everywhere does redound to the praise of God's glory and therefore to the salvation of all, not least by the witness of our words and lives when we depart from Mass as missionary disciples in the world. Today's little prayer over the offerings will take only about 25 seconds to sing. But you can see now how densely packed it is with meaning. And that is true of all three orations at every Mass, which is why we should be attentive to the noble words of these orations, which are prayed aloud by the priest, but spoken on behalf of all who come to offer themselves in union with Christ as a pleasing sacrifice to God in spiritual worship. And here, we must note that not being able to receive Holy Communion worthily does not prevent one from being able to offer oneself in union with Christ as a pleasing sacrifice to God in spiritual worship. Many people who come to Mass are unable to receive Holy Communion for a variety of reasons. Some are Christians but not yet Catholics. Some are Catholics who need to go to confession before returning to communion. Some are Catholics who are married outside the church and cannot receive communion until they are married inside the church. And some are in doubt or turmoil for a serious reason and do not feel ready to receive communion. But Christians who cannot receive Holy Communion can still offer themselves in union with Christ as a pleasing sacrifice to God in a way that benefits the salvation of all. And that is authentic worship in spirit and truth. This is possible because while the sacraments are the ordinary means of grace, they are not the only means of grace. And that is a lesson we have all learned again during the lockdown, when it was not possible for most people to receive Holy Communion, but who found that they were still able to make an act of spiritual communion with the Lord Jesus as true worship offered to the honor of the majesty of God. My friends, by our baptism into the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have all been made priests, prophets, and kings, able to offer true worship, to proclaim the word of God, and to share in the dominion of the kingdom of God through self-sacrifice for the service of others. And so, we make the church's prayer our own. O God, who in the one perfect sacrifice brought to completion varied offerings of the law, accept, we pray, this sacrifice from your faithful servants and make it holy as you blessed the gifts of Abel, so that what each has offered to the honor of your majesty may benefit the salvation of all. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.